Not around. That's the title. How many of you are in agreement that these aren't normal times? Anybody want to agree? It's not normal times, guys. Something has changed way back a few years, several years ago. Just seems that the world is upside down at this point in time. We have never experienced anything like this in our lifetime. Dealing with a number of folks and observing what's happening with folks out there in the world, in their employment, business owners, fear seems to be at an all-time high. Folks are fearful. Maybe the ones here aren't fearful, but in general, folks are very fearful. They're fearful of what's happened, what is happening, and about to happen. As we've also seen over the years, many businesses are suffering. Others are doing fantastic, but many are closing down, and we also find many churches are suffering. Wars, threats of nuclear weapons being used, blood moons, volcanoes erupting, earthquakes all of a sudden, all over the show. The one in New Jersey, since Friday up to, I think, yesterday, there's been 35 minor earthquakes, trembles. So you just think of it. What's happening around the world is quite frightening. Oh, don't forget, what's tomorrow? Sirius says we're going to die. It's the end of the world. Is it Alexis? Well, give me a break. Anything else? Well, when is the last time that there was so much buzz about one month called April? Can any of you recall in your lifetime? Y2K? That was the whole year. January, actually. December, the folks were saying, oh, Y2K is going to kill us. I don't recall any particular month with so many things about to happen as in the month of April. We aren't the only ones alert to this. Many people feel like something really big is about to happen. It is almost as if we are holding our breath as to when is the shoe going to drop? What's going to happen in the month of April? And those are some of the things I'll just mention to you that I've collected and share. Chaos is threatening to erupt all over the globe during the month of April. Signs in the heavens are literally everywhere. I want to quote to you this morning 8 extremely unusual events that will happen during the month of April, written by Michael Snyder. All 8 points, none of my work. I'm just quoting what he said, what he wrote. Listen to number 1. As we enter the month of April, the Devil Comet has become visible to the naked eye in the northern hemisphere. Comet 12P, Pons-Brooks, also known as the Devil Comet, and the mother of dragons, Comet. It is currently visible in the night skies of the northern hemisphere, providing a unique spectacle for both amateur stargazers and professional astronomers. The Halley-type comet, which orbits the sun every 71 years. So a few of you have already seen that once upon a time. And has a nucleus about 30 kilometers in diameter, is known for its impressive outbursts of gas. Just listen to the word gas and a couple of things, and there's something later that's, why are you doing this? And dust during its voyages through the inner solar system. This is the very first time that we have been able to see this comet with a naked eye within 71 years, and will continue to be visible for those of us living in the northern hemisphere during the weeks ahead. Another 2 weeks, I believe you can still see it. Number 2, on April 4th, that happened already. That will be an extraordinary alignment of four planets just 4 days before the great American eclipse of 2024. Four planets lining up? What's the story about this? The next planetary alignment takes place on April 24. It will feature four planets, Venus, Neptune, Saturn, and Mars. The planet will align in the morning sky. April 8th. Oh, have you tried to get your glasses? Well, good luck. Everybody sold out. Walmart sold out. Cumberland is sold out. Pride is sold out. Lowe's is sold out. Home Depot is sold out. The library is sold out. It's a great phenomenon, and everybody is coining the cash. It's a money-making. But schools, I believe, are closed because they're going to check this thing out. On April 8th, the seven other planets in our solar system, along with the sun and the moon, will appear to form a straight line in the sky when looking from Jerusalem toward the east. Somebody asked ChatGPT, how rare is it to have a straight line like this? What do you think the time was? When would this happen, that all these planets line up like this? Well, ChatGPT gave a response. It will happen once every 32 million years. So good luck for the next viewing. How old will you be then? 32 million years older than what you are now. All right? These are just some. This is what's happening out there, guys. This is all the. Now, should we put this aside? No. We've got to pay attention to some of these things. Number four, on April 8th, tomorrow, CERN, and we'll get to CERN now, CERN, is planning to fire up the Large Hadron Collider, the world's largest and most powerful particle accelerator, is set to smash protons together on April 8th to search for invisible particles secretly powering our universe. What are they going to do? They're going to make a mess. Theories have suggested that there are 17 different particle groups, and the European Organization for Nuclear Research, better known as CERN, CERN, confirmed the existence of one using its Large Hadron Collider in 2012. So they've used it in 2012. Now they're going to use it again. Now the team has restarted the LHC with hopes of unraveling more mysteries of the universe, specifically dark matter. Guys, I can tell them where to find dark matter. Just close your eyes and look inside. Number five, the most anticipated event of April 8th is the Great American Eclipse of 2024. USA Today is calling it the astronomical event of the decade. There's a lot of hype, but at the same time, look at the signs, because the Bible says there's going to be signs to his coming. As the eclipse passes over America on April 8th, NASA will be firing three rockets into the moon's shadow. CERN is bombing particles to pieces. NASA is firing three rockets into the moon's shadow. NASA has announced that it will fire three specific sounding rockets into the moon's shadow on Monday, April 8th, during a partial solar eclipse across North America. For some strange reason, NASA has chosen the name, or to name this project, after a serpent deity that was popular in ancient Egypt called Apep, A-P-E-P. Apep, the god, is known as the god of chaos. So they're firing three chaos rockets, named it after Apep. Number seven. Ominously on April 8th, the great American eclipse will complete the giant X that started over the New Madrid fault zone in 2017. So that whole X is now being completed, and the earthquakes in New Jersey is on the New Madrid fault zone. So this X is being completed in the sky. Interesting about it. There's a lot of videos out on YouTube. Lastly, number eight, during the month of April, for the first time since Thomas Jefferson was president, billions of cicadas and billions of 17-year cicadas will emerge from the ground simultaneously. They've been living underground for 13 years and 17 years, and they are coming to life tomorrow. Now, for those of you that would like to test them, I believe they are quite nice to eat, seeing that Gates wants us to go onto worms and everything else and not real steak. So when you see these cicadas flying around, catch them, put them in a pan, and have a good lunch. They will soon emerge at the same time for the first time. Listen to this, guys. These cicadas are arriving. They've been birthed out of the earth. They've been around for millions of years, they say. But it's the first time in 221 years. Now, it's going to be a phenomenon. Guess what? It's all happening during the month of April. Can I ask you, how many of you are really feeling inspired so far? You inspired? Is someone trying to tell us something? As a follower of Jesus Christ, I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm not immune to the challenges everyone else is facing. I will go through it, you will go through it, and the clouds on the horizon are getting darker and the pressures are getting greater than ever before. That means there's a demand and a cost for living a Christian life. And we've got to look at what the Word of God says. So look up. Don't look around. Looking around, you're going to sink. That's exactly what Peter did when Jesus said to him, "Come to me." He was looking at Jesus, but once he took the eye off Jesus and he looked around, he went down. So keep your eyes focused on the Word of God and Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, three different translations. May the God of your hope so fill you with what? Fill you with joy. You've just listened to all the negative. We've got two options. You can become depressed, fearful, or you can say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Fill you with joy. Now notice the second one. And what? Looking around and all the predictions that has been made about April can unsettle you. Don't let it unsettle you. Because you've got joy. You've got peace in believing through the experience of your faith. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and what? What does that mean? It's bubbling, overflowing. But overflowing with what? What hope? That you're in good hands. You're in good hands. I'm in good hands. Every child of God is in good hands. Does it mean we're not going to die? Does it mean we're not going to be affected by all these things? Well, we're going to die. We can be affected by all these things. But it doesn't rock my boat, it doesn't rock your boat, because our faith is in Jesus. And ultimately, if we have to go down into the grave, who are we going to go up through the resurrection? So we find that we have joy, peace, and overflowing with hope. Look at God's word translation, a different translation on the same scriptures. May God, notice, the source of hope. So where does hope come from? Let's go with this question. Is it possible to have hope without God? Yes, but not good. Hope is only in God. And He's the source of hope. Notice what it says. May God, the source of hope, do what? Fill you with joy and peace. Remember when you walk out of this building, what do you read on the sign? God's people are happy people. And happy people shine. Then you will overflow. Once you've got this joy, the peace, your faith in Him, then you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. One more translation. New Living Translation, second edition. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust Him. Okay? Let's be realistic this morning. Let's look at that from a different perspective. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Let me ask the reverse question. What happens if you don't trust in Him? Somebody shout, despair? Despair? What else? No joy? No hope. So don't you think it's wiser to trust Him? Don't you think it's more beneficial to trust Him? Forget about religion. We're talking about a relationship with God. Don't you think there's perks in trusting God? Surrendering your life to Him? Of course there is. It says, the source of hope will fill you with joy and peace because you trust Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope. I cannot overflow until I trust Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice again and again, God, the source of hope. There is nothing hopeless about your life as a Christian. You face challenges. You're not hopeless. You face pain. You face sorrow. You face hurts. You're not hopeless. Your hope is in God. The God of hope is both the one who gives hope and the object of that hope because He's the source. I want us to look at hope being a factor of salvation. If you look at Romans 8, New Living Translation 18 to 25. Hope is part of the salvation. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, hope is birthed. Okay? Yet what we suffer now, are we suffering now? Well, it depends how you define suffering. Are there challenges now? Yes, there are. Are there times that Christians will be ostracized and ridiculed? Absolutely. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the what? What glory? That He will reveal to us later. For all creation, I love this. For all creation, the trees, the plants, the stars, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day. What future day? We've got to understand this concept, guys. Unfortunately, the human being, we live for the now. But we've got to look beyond the now. We've got to look beyond tomorrow. We've got to look beyond this life on earth. And follow God's instructions and follow what God wants for us. Notice what it says. The suffering is for now, but nothing compared to the glory He's going to reveal later on. And that glory, what He wants to reveal later on, the very creation is waiting eagerly for that day. What day? Well, when what? When God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will? Notice the fact. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. What does that mean? Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. Why did God curse the earth? Because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Earth never asked for it. The plants never asked for it. Nothing asked for it. Against their will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's what? Children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. And we believers do what? Tell me about it. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for what? You believe that stuff? We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will do what? Will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies. Now, folks, that's where you and I don't pay much attention to. We don't pay much attention to this. We're living for the now. This body has got to go. Eventually, it's going to die. But the Bible has promised that there is a new body. Look at that. Including the new bodies, he has promised us. And notice now, we were given what? When? When? When you asked Jesus to come into your life, that hope was birthed. And that's why he says we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But notice, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So if we look forward to something we don't have, what are we looking forward to something that we don't have? How about a pay increase? Go beyond the pay increase. We're looking for a new body. We're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And that's why you and I have got this hope because of Jesus Christ. And it finds its expression in under difficult times. The endurance factor must kick in. But please understand, if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently. And what else? Why? Why patiently and why confidently? There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of stuff that calls for our attention. It's so easy to get our mind focused on tomorrow. Tomorrow there's a buzz. Tomorrow certain things are going to kick in that kicked in way back. The predictions are, after tomorrow, who knows how long, many more earthquakes are going to happen across the earth. Many more volcanoes are going to erupt. Iran wants to attack Israel. Already America has informed Israel that Iran is going to attack them within 48 hours. That passed on Friday. But that doesn't mean it's off the chart. It's going to happen. We must wait patiently and confidently. Endurance under trial is what you and I need now. Please look with me at 1 Thessalonians 1:3, two different translations. With all the things happening around us, with all the trials that you and I face, we've got to persevere. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have. Enduring hope? Because of who? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the next translation, the Living Bible. We never forget your loving deeds as we talk to our God and Father about you. And, read it with me, and your? How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith in God? Are we believing more the media than we're believing the Bible? Don't you find that when we start reading about all these negative things, alarm bells go off? How about peace bells ringing in your heart because of who you are in Jesus Christ? Instead of the alarm bells going off, say, you know what? It's well with my soul. It's good with me. I know in whom I believe. And your strong faith and steady looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, be honest this morning, guys. Don't answer me. Just let it go through the mind a little bit. Have you recently been looking forward to the return of Jesus? Or are you looking, how am I going to make it through this day? How am I going to make it through tomorrow? Or are you really saying, you know what? I'm looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Steady looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this is an anchor. An anchor in your life in the midst of April. In the midst of April 8th tomorrow. As the world is shaking and there's ripple effects all over. Speaking of disaster. No. I want you to know that you are anchored in Jesus Christ. No matter what. You anchored in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 6:16-20. And another translation. Another verse after this. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. But notice now, God also bound himself. In other words, making an oath, we make an oath with others in the presence. He bound himself with what? An oath. What was it? So that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given us both what? What's the promise? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's given an oath that he cares and he provides. Now these two things, the promise and his oath, these two things are unchangeable. Why? Because he said so. It's impossible for God to lie. Can politicians lie? Can lawyers lie? Can you and I lie? Oh, you've gone real soft now, huh? Okay. It's impossible for God to lie. The problem we have now, or the problem people have, is do they believe in God or don't they believe in God? If they don't believe in God, this doesn't make any sense and is not relevant. I don't care. There is no God. Whatever people want to say, that's fine. But yet that will be a foolish statement. Because everything we've seen over the years is exactly as God said it's going to be. So it's only wise to trust God. It's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we have fled to him. Remember, there's old, where can I go but to Jesus? Where can I go but to the Lord in prayer? And that's what it says. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence in the midst of April as we hold to this hope that lies before us. This hope is what? Strong and trustworthy what? What does the anchor do? It holds you in place. Right? Drop the anchor. But come on, guys. you fishermen out there, come on, Russ. We dropped the anchor. Does the boat still rock? Yeah, but it's okay. It's anchored. And so you and I, we've got this hope. And this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for what? Our souls. So will the waves still hit you? Yeah. Will the waves still maybe push over into the boat? Yeah. But Jesus is in the boat. So you're okay. It leads us through this curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has promised our eternal high priest. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So what do we find? The effect of believing in God produces joy, peace, endurance. And this hope that you and I have since we got born again leads to something very special. All the things I read to you, Numbers 1 to 8, all the points I read to you earlier on, did that excite you or alarm you? Did it bring joyfulness or pessimism? Did it bring negativity? Yeah. Yep. All those things I read to you. They're not good things to hear. Nobody wants to hear what NASA's going to do. Nobody wants to hear what these guys are going to shoot in this 13-kilometer tunnel and find dark matter. Nobody wants to hear these things. We don't know what the chain reactions of all those things are going to be. So it's not encouraging. But this hope in Jesus Christ fills us with excitement and optimism. Romans 12, 11, 12. And that's our last scripture for this morning. Never be what? If you don't work, the Bible says? You guys are something else this morning. You're too witty. Look at the spiritual connotation of this. Never be lazy, but work what? Work hard. Crossway's filled with these people. Hard workers at Crossway. Work hard, but serve the Lord. But there's the emphasis. How must I serve the Lord? Explain. What does that look like? What does it look like? What does enthusiastically look like? Happy people. Is a person that's enthusiastic, is it obvious and noticeable? That's why people got to look at you and me and say, there's something different about these guys. Yeah, of course there is. I've got the joy of the Lord. Yes, I've got faith in God. Absolutely. I'm going through a difficult time. Well, let me pray with you. We've got the hope, folks. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Notice verse 12. Rejoice, all because of our hope. Not because of tomorrow. We don't care much about tomorrow. When I say we are alert as to what's happening tomorrow. But if that's all negative stuff, the negative stuff ain't going to infiltrate my mind, because my mind has been renewed by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. So I'm secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's going to be an eclipse and if everything's going to go to heck, and who cares? I'm going to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. The hope is to see him and the return of him. But now comes the difficult part of that scripture. Be patient in trouble. Husbands, how patient have you been in trouble? Wife, how patient have you been in trouble? Be patient in trouble. What does that mean? Be patient in trouble. in trouble. Explain. Be patient in trouble. Stay calm. Be still. Don't overreact. What was that? Oh, knee-jerk reactions? That's what we do, lady. That's how we fix things. But we create problems with that more than what we fix. Because most times we react on the spur of the moment. Because that's how we live our life. Problem, fix, now. And if it doesn't want to bend, I will bend it until it breaks. But something's got to go. And here we find, be patient in trouble. In other words, let it run its course. In the midst of that trouble, you've got to be focused. On what? On Him. God, I'm going through this trying time now, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful because I know this too will pass. So that's why we've got to watch out for this reaction at times. Be patient in trouble, and then, of course, keep on praying. When you look at verse 12, rejoice, it conveys the idea of jubilant exaltation. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. In trouble, when you and I face trouble, is this what happens? Jubilant. I just smashed my car. I'm so happy. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. The idea conveys jubilant exultation, spiritual gladness. What we can do, I've just smashed my car. But you know what? It's only metal. I'm alive. And I praise You, God. Spiritual gladness. Be exceedingly glad to be cheerful, calm, calmly happy. Now, that knee-jerk reaction, you smash the car or somebody smashes into your car, what happens? That door flings open and you're like a rhinoceros heading towards the person that smashed, and man, that guy's intimidated already. Calmly happy. Rejoice. Notice though, patient in trouble. Trouble, pressure, afflicted anguish, burdened. But I want you to know this morning that God can give you the calmness that you and I need to go through this entire life. Why would we have hope? Why? Hope is the product of the promises of our Lord to us. Hope is the product of the presence of the Lord. Hope is the product of the power of our Lord, which works in us. Well, I said that was one of our last scriptures. I've added another one. Philippians. Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to do what? The good things that what? Result from being saved. Okay. It doesn't say do just good things before you were saved, born again, given your life to Jesus. It says now that you're born again, do good things. Since you're being obeying God with deep reverence, notice, shrinking back from all that might displease Him. What does displease Him? Knee-jerking reaction? Oh, we got onto that word now. Thanks, Marie. Those reactions can displease Him. For God is at work within you, helping you want to obey Him. I love this. He knows we're human. He knows our shortcomings. But He's at work within us, helping us to want to obey Him. And then helping you do what He wants. What does He want? In everything you do, come on, guys, help me. I'm not going to read this. You're going to read it. I don't want to read this. I don't like the scripture. You read verse 14 for me. In everything you do, how are you doing so far? Ouch! That I'm so glad that does not apply to me. In everything you do, stay. Oh, how many of you complained this week? I'm closing my eyes. Okay. Stay away from complaining and arguing. Ah, the Christians don't complain. Christians don't argue. Stay away. How easy is it to complain? You know, we are so quick in finding fault with everything. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak against you. You are to, look at what it says, you are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God. Where? But you know what? The darker the world, the brighter the light shines. Yes, the light. The darker the world, the brighter the light shines. They in despair, I've got faith. They've got nothing to live for, we've got everything to live for. And we can let our light shine and say, guys, it's dark, but come into my world where there's light. Come into my world of light. Dark world full of people who what? Are crooked and stubborn. You find some Christians are also stubborn. Shine among them. Shine out among them like a beacon, lights. Holding out to them what? The word of life. Yes, we've got the word of life. We've got to hold it. Those folks are in despair. Some of them think, well, I'm fine. No, you're not fine. Unless Jesus is in your life, you're not fine. Here is the way. Notice, holding out to them the word of life. Then when Christ returns, we've seen that before. When Christ returns, how glad I will be that my work among you was so worthwhile. So the God of hope desires to fill us with joy. Not happiness. Happiness is linked to what happens to you, but joy is something that's happened within you through Christ. So Christian joy is not dependent on circumstances. Let's reiterate that. Christian joy is not dependent on circumstances. Okay, let's be honest with ourselves this morning. Can I be joyful when I'm sick? Can I still be joyful even in sad moments? Can I be joyful at a deathbed? No, it's not easy, Claire. Holding a loved one's hand, and that person is going to breathe out its last breath. It's a final goodbye, yeah, on this side. If the person is born again, it's just, see you later. But can I still be joyful in the midst of that sorrow and that grief and that ache and that pain? I can. Because it's different. I've got someone I can lean on. I've got someone that I can trust. I've got someone that can sustain me. My world won't be shattered. It hurts my world. But I can still be joyful because I've got salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one that will give me the strength that I need. So the Christian joy is not dependent on the circumstances. Joy is thankfulness for who God is and for what He has given us through His Son. Let me wrap it up. We've received forgiveness. What is the result? Joy. We've received eternal life through Christ. What is the result? Joy. We've been adopted into His family since we've been born again. What is the result? Joy. He's given us a promise that we're going to be with Him forever. Result? Joy. So the God of hope fills us with this wonderful peace, Romans 15:13. Look at this. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Okay, guys, tomorrow is April 8th. The world's going to come to an end. Can you guys just be real for a moment? Oh, man. You know, Vera got that thing going since Easter. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because we know in who we trust. And that's what it says. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe this morning, and I say this with sincerity in my life, God wants to bring order and peace into people's lives that are chaotic. Outside of Christ, there's chaos. There's chaos in people's lives. But God wants to bring order in the chaos of people's lives. And God wants to bring tranquility when there is turmoil. So tomorrow, just before the earth ends, make sure you tell somebody God loves them. And God wants to give them hope. And God wants to forgive their sins. And as you gaze tomorrow, 2 o'clock, somewhere around there, and you look at the eclipse, you can look at it and say, what a mighty God I serve. I'm going to look up, and I'm not going to look around. And as I look up at the eclipse, and I see what's happening there, I can still say, God is in control, and God's in charge of my life. I've got nothing to fear. Because I'm a child of the living God. Come, we pray together.